to hear about a lot of times. We kind of talk about it, but then we don't quite know how to do it, right? So this is just a little chorus that goes, love, 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 love. We'll sing this and then we'll all wake up and be ready to worship. Well, this is worship. Okay. Love, 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 love. Everybody's talking about love, not living it. Love, 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 love. Somebody ought to live love again. Love, 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 love. Everybody's talking about love, not living it. Love, 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 love. Somebody ought to live love. Somebody ought to live love. Sharon? I don't mean you already live love. You live love already.
Are there any... First of all, I want to welcome our guests and anybody that we need to have introduced. I'm happy to say that my daughter Shannon and our youngest member of the family is here with us, Xander. They're sitting in the back. And I would also like to introduce Pam and Ron Schrag. Pam will be speaking to us this morning. She is our Western District Mennonite Women's President. She's been active in a variety of social networks in Newton and Mound Ridge, and they come from Mound Ridge. So we are happy to have both of you here this morning. Is there anyone else or any announcements? I'm going to have Mark bring the mic around.
This is going to be the first Wednesday of the month, so it's not in the bulletin, but it's dinner time. So Wednesday night at 5:00, come and have dinner with us. Also, in October, we're starting Bible study on Wednesday night, and we're going to have fellowship meals on every Wednesday night in October and through whatever. And so I put a sign-up sheet. If anybody would like to make the main dish or a dessert or do the whole thing or whatever. So if you would take a look at that, and if you want to sign up for anything, that's great. If not, there'll be supper though. So come this week and see what we have.
I have two announcements. The first one is beginning next Sunday, we're going to have all church Sunday school. So even those of you that don't normally come to Sunday school, I would invite you to come because I think we're going to have a good time. We'll start with coffee and donuts to help. The second announcement is a lecture that's going to be on the Bethel College campus. It's to celebrate the 30th anniversary of KIPCOR, which is Kansas Institute for Peace and Conflict Resolution. And the lecture is going to be given by Leonard Pitts, Jr. He is a famous columnist. He's won a Pulitzer Prize. He writes for the Miami Herald. But his column is syndicated and picked up by the Wichita paper and the Hutchinson paper and frequent papers around here. His topic is What Now, America in the Age of Trump. He is a black man. He writes on racial issues a lot. And it's a very timely topic given what's been happening in this country. It's at 7:00 at Mem Hall at Bethel. And I would invite and encourage all of you to come because I hear he's a wonderful speaker. Tuesday, a week from Tuesday. It's September 12th.
In the bulletin, there's an announcement about the bell ringer starting, and I'd like to make a correction. We're going to be practicing at 6:00 instead of 7, because there's some conflicts for the later hour. And we invite anyone to come. I'd really like to get a 3-octave bell choir going. We would only need about 2 or 3 more to do that. And then we could use all of the bells we have available because we have a lot of music for them.
I would just like to say that last Sunday I was at the museum in North Newton, our Mennonite museum there, and my nephew, Ben W. Gosen, was speaking, and he was sharing his research on this book, Chosen Nation. Now, this has been written up in the Mennonite Weekly or World Review, and it was in the McPherson paper. I was very surprised to see that, and a variety of other articles. But he has written this book about Mennonites during World War I and II, I believe, and how this all related, and how some of them were actually involved with the Nazis, and some of the things that have happened. It's a very intellectual book, I must admit, but interesting research that he has done. This book was purchased and put, and I will have it in the church library. So if anyone is interested, please check it out. Okay. Anybody else?
Okay, we're going to sing a little bit more. Song Less of Me, which is an old song, probably from the 60s or something, but it talks about how we live as Christians, how we could be a little kinder, a little blinder to the faults of those around us. So if you want to, you can stand up and so that you know we're here and singing. If you want to, you can sit. That's fine. Okay? To the faults of those around me, let me praise a little more. Let me dream when I am weary, just a little bit more. Cheer me, think a little more of others and a little less of me. Let me be a little braver when temptation leads me waver. Let me strive a little harder to be all that I should be. Let me be a little meeker with a brother that is weaker. Think a little more neighbor and a little less of me. All right, you might be seated and look at your hymn book. We're going to sing 546 in the blue hymn book, Guide My Feet, Lord. Another prayer as we're asking God to help us to walk the walk that we are to walk. Guide my feet while I run this race. 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 For I don't want to run this in vain. Stand by me. Stand by me. While I run this race, stand by me. While I run this race, stand by me. While I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. I'm your child. I'm your child. While I run this race, hallelujah. Child, while I run this race, I'm your child. While I run this race, oh, I don't want to run this race in vain. Search my heart, search my heart. While I run this race,
my Lord,
search my heart.
While
I'm Lord, help us to do these things. We're going to end with a song, I Will Come to You in the Silence. It actually comes from the Sing the Story book, which we don't have, so the words will be up in the front. When Jesus would say yes to us, this is what he would say, I will come to you in the silence. I will come to you in the silence. I will come to crown all your fear. You will be my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am here. I am in your own hopeless. I am eyes for all you long to see. In the shadows of the night, I will be your light. Come and rest in me. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home, home. I love you and you are mine. Hallelujah, Lord, you are that one that loves us and cares for us and brings us to new places. We thank you that you care about our every need. We thank you that you walk with us, and thank you that you call us to yourself. Amen.
Open your hymn books to page 661, and let us read responsively our opening call to worship. We gather as pilgrims on a journey of faith. Shine in our hearts, O God, with the light of your love. Make your presence known through Jesus Christ. Amen. I will be reading scripture from Matthew 16, verses 21 to 28. From the time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. And truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Take your bulletins and let's affirm our faith and read together in unison. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above ourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful. Do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Let us continue our worship by offering our gifts of love to God. Pray. Lord, we know that all good gifts come from you. We now give back to you what is yours. Bless our acts of worship, and may this offering serve to bring your good news of love to those both here and at home and around the world. Amen. It is time now to share what we have enjoyed this week and what has been of concern to us.
I had a first cousin pass away this weekend, Nelson Gehring. The funeral is tomorrow, so keep the Nelson Gehring family in your prayers.
Another update on Caden Schrader. He will be going to Kansas City here soon, and they will do 56 days of treatment, and they are hoping that after that, he might be able to be a candidate for some kind of a trial treatment again.
Our son-in-law, Nate, is home now after 3 weeks after the accident. He was just in rehab 1 week, which we thought was very quickly, but he's sent home with the hospital bed and the wheelchair, and LaVon made a ramp and all that. So it's a new chapter for their life. Lisa's doing just pretty good. I'm sure it's from all our prayers for her. And continue to pray for him. What else? Oh, he's still in a great deal of pain with all the bones that were broken. I just can't seem to take care of the pain. But he will get some home health care. So we're thankful for that, all the good things that have happened.
I talked to Steve's sister, Kathy, in California this morning, and the fires are about a mile from their house, so we're praying that the winds keep blowing away from them and don't shift.
Let us bring our thoughts and prayers to God. Listening God, you hear our prayer before we even speak, yet you welcome our praying So today we come before you with confidence as we remember all the good things in life that you have provided for us. We are grateful for the kindness and your uncounted mercies that we receive each day, for the work we are capable of doing, and for all the joys and comforts of life. Lord, we give you thanks. But Lord, we also know that our hearts are mindful of the sorrows that people have suffered these past weeks. We pray for all of those who are flood victims in the South, and for those who are dealing with fires. Lord, we may not be able to be there in person to help, but we can pray and hope and help in other small ways. May we look for those ways that can strengthen those in need and those we can go to help. We think of those here at home and in need of your care and hope this morning. We pray for the Nelson Gehring family as they have lost a loved one. Lord, surround them with your love and your care and fill that hole with your love that will be needed. Be with Caden Schrader and his family as he has fought so hard with his cancer and is still fighting yet. Be with them. Be with the doctors as they try to find something that will help him. Be with Nate and Lisa as Nate does continue to heal. We are grateful for the healing that he has had so far, but Lord, he is still in need of your love and care and help from doctors and nurses. Be with each one that touch his life, and be with Nancy's sister-in-law Kathy as they are dealing with fire, and hopefully they can find new strength and help as well. Come, redeeming God, take our prayers upon yourself and transform them. Be merciful to us who offer these prayers so that we might become agents of your healing love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, do we have some children that can collect our pennies and coins this morning? And I believe our guest speaker, Pam Schrag, has a story for us.
Good morning. This morning I'm going to be talking about what God's love is. And when I was your age, the question I asked most is, how much does God love me? And I asked a lot of people, and I happened to find this book that kind of reminded me of what I was like when that age was. It's called God, How Much Do You Love Me? If you closer. He goes into his mom. Come in a little closer then. Just question it. Come on. Mommy, does God love me? She's holding a pan of chocolate chips and says to him, precious, precious baby, he loves you more than the chips and the cookies that I made you. And then he goes out to Dad and asks, how much does God love me? And he says, more than all the leaves that we. And then he goes to Grandma and asks, Grandma, how much does God love me? And she says, my dear, dear child, he loves you more than all the stuff I'm working on. And then he goes to Grandpa and asks Grandpa, how much does God love me, Grandpa? And Grandpa says, more than all the seeds that we've planted in our garden. And then he goes to his brother and says, brother, how much does God love me? So much. Ground ants.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then his sister, and his sister says, there's more than payolas that are in this box. And at down, Scott,
how much do you love me? My child, I love you more than all the stars there are in the sky. My love
for you
reaches
as far as the sand that is
a
I love you more than
all the mistakes you ever made. I love you for all the ease that heartache will
mean. I love you when you're small. I love you when you're
grown.
I love you for your past, present, and future. I will never leave you. Always be there with you. And that's God saying, I love you. That big rainbow in the sky is always God saying, I love you. And that was the book that I liked to enjoy most when I was your age. And I brought you some sheets to work with that are coloring pages that have scripture verses on it. Because that's how God continually tells us how much God loves us, is by the scriptures that he shares with us in the Bible. So I'm going to let you pick which one you'd like and take it with you and color it later. Let's say a little prayer before you leave. Can you? Thank you, Lord, for all the joy, for all the love, and for all the grace that you've continued to give us throughout our years of learning and growing and being with you. Continue to grow us into the grace and the comfort and the joy that we might experience if we're open and accepting of the love that you have for our life. Thank you for this day, and thank you for these children. In your name we pray. Amen.
Okay, if you would turn into your hymn books on page 304, we want to sing, There Are Many Gifts, and we're going to start just singing the refrain first, and then three verses right in a row, and end with the refrain. 304. Wisdom, another the calling to speak, one the ability to comfort, another the calling to teach. A body has many members, yet all work in unity. The church is the body of Christ. His arms, his hands and feet. Not all are called to be prophets, not all are called to preach, but all should aim for the best gifts, and love is the greatest of these. There are many gifts, but the same Spirit. There are many works, but the same God. And the Spirit gives as it chooses. Praise the Lord, praise God.
And we'll end by singing, I Will Come to You in the Silence, verses 3 and 4. This time we will sing verse 3, and then the refrain, and then verse 4, and then the refrain.
I will drink for all the despairing, healing for the ones who dwell in shame. All the blind will see, the lame will all run free, and all who know my name. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you. each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. To freedom, I am the peace the world cannot give. I will call your name, embracing all your pain. Stand up now, walk and live. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine.
Bill will read our scripture at this time, and then we will hear from Pam.
I would like to read from Exodus 3, verses 9 to 12. Now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain.
Good morning. It's such a great gift to be here with you this morning. This is all new kind of to me, so I'm kind of reveling and enjoying it, and the little nervousness that goes with it is kind of good. I'm blessed to know a few of you. I look out and I see some familiar faces, so that's kind of fun. But I've long admired the way that you live your faith. So, before you look at the title, you know, and the message a little bit, and think, oh, she's one of those God is love people, I thought I would share some of my journey with you this morning. I grew up in a large family of modest means. My father was 52 when I was born. There were three more children after me. Three brothers and a sister means sharing everything. Our parents were not good communicators, and though they loved us, we always struggled to get along. The years of growing have been difficult for us, and since both of our parents have gone, that growing together has been even harder. I learned early on, though, that life was not the same for everyone because of that, but that we all are on a journey. That journey has made many roads and lots of different opportunities for each of us. They are often most spectacular moments that begin with a challenge to see the world through a different lens. Not unlike our Old Testament scripture that was just read for us, the story of Moses. The verse previous to our scripture tells us of God's awareness of the many years of oppression for Moses' people and details it out. Moses only knew of the years of his awareness during his lifetime, but God opened his eyes to the whole story. But that was only still a part of the story for Moses. In awe of this unnatural sight in front of him, the wonder, he kept straining to reach that burning bush. And totally unknown before his eyes. And then when God called him, Moses gives him this simple answer of, here I am. Like he's having a conversation with just anybody. Kind of interesting to me. I mean, burning bush and, you know, a voice out of the yonder calls you and just go, here I am. Yeah, he's got more than I do. But thankfully, I'm sure, Moses may have thought, okay, the voice went on to explain the holy moment that was happening to him. So God got to the very heart of the matter very, very quickly. Having heard the cries of his people, he decided to send a deliverer. Okay, Moses probably isn't sweating just yet, but then the deliverer is going to be who? I can imagine the words that he uttered. Who? The next response I get is so understanding, because I've uttered them often. Really, who me, Lord? I don't have anything to offer. The most important part of the story, however, isn't even that response, but maybe one we should hold on to a little bit tighter, which is, God will be with you. I will be with you. God stepped up with a sign to even seal the promise. Now, I'm sure there are many questions. In the remaining chapter, we get to read a lot of his questions. But having faith and believing in God, that God would indeed be with him, kept him moving on his journey. Now, we have the gift of reading the rest of the testimony and knowing how difficult and fraught with complications that journey was. And yet, I believe God's love created the foundation and took Moses through all of his steps. And they weren't easy steps. We know they weren't. He provided him everything he needed when there was doubt, and discomfort took hold of him often. But in a sign, or sometimes the people that were with him, an understanding and grace always existed. It's often that foundation that I think we yearn for in our day to day. I was looking for that foundation in my college years. And I said earlier, my parents passed on at an early age in my life. Before I was 40, I had lost both my parents, two children, and my relations with my siblings were strained at best. What I had found by this time, though, was that blessing from God of, I will be with you. It has been and continues to be a part of the long journey for me to see those signs, to see God, not only in the eyes of those who has brought into my world, but the many pieces of the journey that is still taking place. It was a Christ-led journey that follows the path of love that our scripture lays out for us in the Romans text that we read, the teaching us how to love. The 8 verses that we read are so packed, full of instructions, kind of how-to, that I confess they're too full to take them all on this morning. So let's just do a little bit of broad stroking here and kind of talk about the things maybe that challenge us the most with that. Much of what Paul is challenging us to in the scripture is sort of the Jesus Sermon on the Mount, but with depth, the depth which he takes and asks us to bring a whole new level of the kind of community that is living in love. The passage started out with verse 9 this morning, which read, using the word sincere, love one another and be sincere. Now, other translations give a little more understanding to that word, but are more about what love is not. The American Standard used without hypocrisy for the word sincere. The King James Version used the word dissimulation, and deceitful is the LAM use of all of that. And the words are all about not what we are not to be, asking us to be open and share our mind and our heart with God and with God's family. So in summing it up, it kind of looks like we can do the maybe what love is and what love is not. And we'll kind of dig into that a little bit. So love is sincere. We know that. Love is devoted in love. The Greek here would more clearly state this as like children in the family of God. So it's a natural, strong affection. And it talks more about a family kind of love, a family of God, so devoted in love. honor each other above yourself. Paul uses this Greek word in a unique way that really asks us to see the gifts in each other, so that when I see my neighbor, when I see my friend, I see the gifts that God has to offer us from within that person, and that we can share. And it's in that sharing, that zeal, that spiritual fervor, that earnest way of serving the Lord, that we can share God with others. It goes on to rejoice, mourn, be patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, inclusive, spending time with others who are different from you. And are you starting to hear the Beatitudes yet? Paul spells out what love is, largely based on those Beatitudes, but asking us to look at it in a community kind of way. It's not just my family, it's my family is my God and my family. So let's go a little bit into what love is not. It's not haughty, it's not evil, it's not exclusive, and repay no one evil. And that very last one is do not be conceited. It asks us to be with people who are different from us and to not be conceited in how we share with them. Again, Paul is helping us to see the kind of love Christ came to share with us. That kind of how-to and DIY kind of way of how to love. Openly sharing what God's love is all about has been a challenging part of my journey. I do confess I'm still learning every day what true, authentic sharing is. I think in our journey, it's often for us to, because there's so much going on, we try to wall off or protect or we have a number of terms for them, but openly sharing is what God calls us to. That's a part of that love. So, more often than not, I felt like Moses may have felt that moment on the mountain. Scared, unprepared, unsure of my abilities, let alone able to trust this new kind of love. It's a pretty deep kind of love we're talking about. The word God spoke to Moses, I cling to often, especially on the day-to-day parts of this journey of life. I will be with you. When that is at our foundation, then love takes us on God's path. That kind of love manifests itself in so many ways, but often in acts of kindness and affection for others and for one another. Sometimes it's in big ways, like creating ways to give others that are about honoring each other. Places like the Reuse It Center, Angel's Attic, Circles of McPherson are big ways that love is manifested. It gives people purpose and allows passion to remain full of zeal as we serve each other. And it allows us to get to know people in different ways. People who we wouldn't normally maybe see, who maybe we wouldn't normally work with, we get a chance to touch them differently. And that's the kind of sharing God hopes us to do. And there are also small, intimate ways, like a cup of coffee, listening to a friend who has something really important on their heart or that is hurting, or celebrating a new job or a new experience. Those are all ways that we can be and share that love that God has for us. That manifested love is just an important part of our living our path. In our daily life, many opportunities will come to experience love and share this love. But both take a bit of intentionality on our part. I think most of us are good at the sharing. I see a lot of sharing happening. It's easy for us to love and to give. We still have to practice it, and that takes us that kind of practice to nourish it. But I don't think that's where we struggle often. I think sharing's easy for us. I think, however, that we do struggle when it comes to receiving that love. You know, when you're in places that you're not used to being, when you're seeing people that you don't know or are different from you, it takes a certain vulnerability to be aware of the kind of love and the gifts that they have to share, as well as what you have to share with them. And so I believe that's kind of the mission that we're on, is being able to give and share like that, to nourish and care for one another, because there are times when I need to be nourished and there are times when they need to be nourished. And being able to be vulnerable with one another and being open to that is the kind of call that God is calling us to. I doubt that when Moses was on his knees there at the bush, he was thinking about that kind of thing, about how he was going to rescue the people that God wanted him to rescue. But he knew that God was going to be with him to do that. That Moses so first had to accept that God loved him enough to allow and to know that he was always going to be there. Always. And to get past all his doubts. And although I doubt that he really got past his doubts, I imagine he probably still had a few hanging around. But he knew that God would be there with him through that path. And so he accepted it, he took off, and he continued his path. Now, we often say we know that God loves us. But when we are God in skin, and the definition I use for that is you and me, some days the person needs to see God in skin, not just in prayer. And we get to be those people. And so we start sharing all that love that is, like our scripture suggested. How easily do we accept it when we're on the receiving end? I struggled as a child to feel and accept that love of God. I'd love to say I understood why, but I don't. I just didn't. There were five of us, and it was hard to feel loved. But to merely see God at work takes some intentional living. You've got to see your surroundings. My personal journey through that, I've had many experiences in the 55 years of living, but I'm going to share with you one of the recent ones. My dear husband had colon cancer earlier this year. And this year has been anything but easy for the journey. We have struggled in some mighty and some small ways. And yet God's love has been visible in so many ways if we had the eyes to see them with. Some of them were easy to see. We had great nurses. We've had wonderful friends and family. And some of them took the form of letting others just be with us. Ronnie had a peace in his heart that came only from God about the surgery as he was going into it. I, on the other hand, didn't have that. And so God sent so many dear people to me to carry me through that surgery and to hold my hand while he was having his experience. Both of us knew what we needed, and God provided so much to get us through that moment. And we went about accepting the path that God had for us. Letting people just be there sometimes is by far the most difficult thing in our world. We want to give. We constantly want to give that love. But truly loving is being there in both parts, is accepting and caring and growing in that grace that God gives us. And God knew what both of us need us. And brought us through that, even if we didn't. Many kind acts and affectionate moments have been a part of our year. Like I said, I'd love to tell you it was all easy, and everything was peachy keen and so easy to accept. Sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes it was from strangers doing their job, as God called them to live their life in love. Sometimes it was seeing something so bad transformed by God to see it in a different light. As you might guess, there were moments that felt harsh and unloved and full of doubt. That indeed is life sometimes. And I think that's why Paul encourages us to see love differently. Christ transformed what love is by the very life that he lived. He came to give us that grace. He came to give us that open love that we could never know without Christ. Just like Moses at the burning bush. You know, you have to accept God and to know that God will always be with you to continue that transformed living. It's that transformation that makes the scripture we are reading so much easier to see and do and be. Because God transforms us through the love of Christ, through that opening, selfless act of love, so that we might be able to do that for one another. Love is about caring for and being cared by one another. It is both vulnerable and loving to live this kind of sacred life. Richard Rohr talks about not living in that duality of life, but understanding that it's both and or. So when we are living this world, it's holding both of those truths together and loving each other in the midst of it, so that we can see God in the eyes of those that we are touching. So now as I close, I want to remind you that God's love comes from the transformation of grace renewed daily by God, always being with you. We cannot earn. We don't get to work our way through. We only get to be transformed and say yes to the power that God has for us, the life, the path of love that God asks us to live. Not anything we do can be earned. It is freely given. God's path is love, and love always. And as the scripture ended, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's our call. How do we learn? How do we love? How do we be? By loving. Loving the path that God brings us on. Thank you. So if you bow your heads with me, I'd love to pray. Lord, we are so gifted and graced, not only by your earthly ministry of showing us how to love and care for one another, but to feel that love and care for ourselves from God and from you. May we continually reach out to one another in both vulnerability and sharing, so that we might deeply feel the love that you have for us, so that we might understand that your love is as deep as the ocean, as small as a grain of sand, but yet as big as the sands across time. May we see that the stars are there because they remind you of all the love that you have for us. May we understand that you've made and given everything so that we might know how much you love us. And in return, may we be able to give that to one another. I ask that as we walk away from here, you remind us that in silence we hear you, in silence we feel you, and in grace we can embrace one another and be open to the kind of love that you would want us to feel. We know that passion, we know that love, and we know that that transformation brings about the kingdom that you want to see on this earth. And we are the children of that kingdom. Guide us, grant us, and open us up to your heart and the love and the path that we have to journey. Amen.
Let us stand as we sing hymn number 513.
516?
Oh, it's 516. Okay, guess it was a misprint. Just as I am.
We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5.
Thank you.
go in love, for love alone endures. Go in peace, for it is a gift of God. Go in safety, for we cannot go where God is not. Bless this week and go in peace.